So my point is that if you eliminate that entirely, you're going back further than this exclusion started out.
Gotcha.
Mr. Chairman, the reason this amendment was offered, again, as I said, was because in our budget report from the last session, he said go back and take another look at this to make it more equitable. Had the limits in there. The limits originally related to the forecast. They're the same limits for the forecast requirements as we have for the assessment. We want to repeal the forecast requirement, and so we needed to change this somehow. To our knowledge, because of the provision we're dealing with wholesale, perhaps it has some different information, there are only two companies that come in under that. And there we're talking about companies that handle on order of 33 million gallons annually. These are not...
They're the only two that come over 2 million gallons.
No, they were the only two that would come in under the revised definition. The other one is 3 million gallons that would come in under the revised definition.
Mr. Chairman,
well, I'd like to get that clarified.
Yeah, sure. If it's 3 million, why aren't they under the definition now, which is limited to 2 million?
The issue is the forecasting, because the forecast requirements and the assessment requirements are tied together. They could get a waiver under the forecast requirements, and so they aren't now covered. And as I understand it, so these three would not be the companies that you'd be concerned about.
Well, I'm concerned about all the companies. I represent the Oregon Propane Gas Association, and that's all propane dealers in the state.
However you want to go, we put this together to respond to the question you gave us last session.
Cal Gas, what's your name? Penn?
Gas or Penn Gas.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if it's a paperwork problem, and you know, if by eliminating the definition or limitation of 2 million gallons, you're going to cause a lot of paperwork for some company and not generate any revenue, it seems that there's another way around this. You might want to express it in a term, you want to exclude anyone that doesn't have to pay more than $1,000, where it's not worth their time, it's not worth your time to mess with it.
Which one was the best?
We wouldn't know how much it sold.
So you do need a report from on the total amount.
Basically, there are three pieces of paper. We send them a letter that says if you sold, tell us how much you sold. They send it back, say here's how much we sold. We say here's how much you owe, and they send us a check.
How much paperwork's involved, though, in the first part? That's what the paperwork, part of the paperwork's involved.
And making a judgment in terms of how much they sold in order.
Are you assessing them for all the petroleum that's sold, whether it's used on the highway, the propane they've used on the highways or in forklifts? And
Mr. Chairman, the law excludes those used for motor vehicle use fuels.
Because of the other tax.
And he's correct that we need to be a distinction for that.
Yeah.
Again, it's a question of your judgment. We prepared this in response to your question.
That is where the majority of the fuel being used is motor fuel, isers, industrial use.
Is it your understanding that is being excluded now? Because it's paying another tax.
Yeah, right.
Tell you what, I don't want to let this go, but I don't think I'd like to do some
information.
Yeah, I'd like to get some more information, but I think
as to how to
do it. I don't want to tell Dan how to solve this.
Well, one way you could do it is leave that language in there and then add another sentence that says something to the effect that if it is determined that the assessment is less than $1,000 or whatever figure you want to put in there, then the department doesn't collect that amount. Whether it's forecast or whatever that other mumbo jumbo process is as you go through to develop the figure.
Could we work on that some way?
Mr. Chairman, sure, that'd be reasonable. Then we do it one time and we wouldn't go back and ask them again as long as we knew what the amount was.
Okay, can I get you to work on some amendments with Lynn and Sid to put in that before we finally pass it out? Okay, I think we can take care of most of it.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll hold that motion then until we get it worked out.
I'll withdraw it.
Or withdraw it or whatever.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on 2259?
May I?
You sure may.
My name is John Burns. My address is 2308 First Interstate Power. They changed the name.
Portland. Yeah, where you're born?
I was born up in the pucker brush not too far from Jordan Valley.
How come you're not wearing cowboy boots, Knotts? Okay.
Can I tell a story, Mr.
Tell a story, please. We need it.
Senator Yeturi told the story about having been asked where he was born when he first came, and he said, I was born in Jordan Valley, and the member wanted to know where Jordan Valley was, and he tried to explain to him, and he couldn't. The guy couldn't identify it, and he says, well, he says, you know where Pendleton is? And he said, yeah. And he says, you know where Boise is? And he says, yeah. He says, well, it's up between them two places. And the guy said, oh, I know. Sure, I know. And Tony says, where are you from? He says, I'm from Portland. Tony says, who runs the drugstore there now? Anyway, I'm registered to represent 9 suppliers of petroleum products in Oregon. We're intimately familiar with this energy supplier assessment tax that you all adopted in 1975. And as has been said, the formula assesses natural gas suppliers, electrical suppliers, and petroleum suppliers for petroleum, which does not go to the highway fund, not using the highway, all classes of it, to help fund the Department of Energy. And we started out, I think, when I first came into this role, in 1977, our share, well, I think the total pie, the total assessment was about $1 million for all three classes. Then in the last session, you raised that to somewhere around $3 million. And I think this session, and perhaps Dan can correct me, it triples again, roughly. It's $8 million, perhaps.
It's 2.7 for the budget that you put out. The governor's special energy package is...
Isn't it 2.7 for petroleum?
Yeah.
For the whole thing?
For three.
Okay. Well, then that's up from 900,000. The portion that I'm objecting to, I think the bill is okay as I read it here, but the section on the special energy section, which was put in by the House Committee, and I believe it's Section 6 on page 9 of the knocked-up bill, if that's correct.
That's the Task Energy Information Task Force?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Sections 5 through 12.
6 is the one that talks about the membership.
And that wasn't in the original bill. It was put in by the House Environment and Energy Committee. And that's going to raise the assessment $2 million annually, if Mr. Frank's figures are correct. So so $4 million for the biennium just for that. And here we're having the assessment already tripled. And then they're going to add $4 million more on top of that. And I suggest to you that that's just a little bit too much at this time.
This wasn't developed now in the governor's task force anywhere.
This wasn't part of it. You haven't yet considered the governor's special energy budget, Mr. Chairman, which is going to add some 40 new positions to, or something, I don't know. And I would just suggest to you respectfully that if this is going to cost $4 million more, you ought to look at this in conjunction with the special energy budget. There's going to have to be some cut somewhere. But I want to go on record in opposing this.
Sections 5 through 12. The rest of the bill you support?
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Okay.
Questions on that?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to just be non-committal about it, but I got to go through the rest of the bill, I guess, to know what Tom's talking about.
If you got a speech.
He's talking about some of the amendments that the amendment's talking about, if he's going clear through the rest of the bill.
I think, I have a photocopy here, and it looks like it's a mocked-up version, and I think it starts in Section 5. And it's not in the governor's budget or in his special energy budget, and it's going to come out of our hive.
You collect it from us, is what you're talking
about. We collect it from you. Okay. It's right out of your tractor.
I just wanted to get that right.
Thanks, John.
Do you want further testimony? Yes, please. I had a sign-up sheet, but we brought it up here right away.
I'm sorry that I didn't
sign up. My name is Dick Brown. I'm representing Pacific Power and Light Company. I'd like to go on record opposing the House amendments to this bill also. We feel that Pacific Power and Light Company has one of the finest public information programs anywhere in the country. We've been a leader in the conservation movement. We've done, we're a model as far as other utilities throughout the country are concerned. And I don't think that we need to add another $2 million to the state government for them to go into a, what they described as a Kermit the Frog program telling people to conserve. We're doing an adequate job, we feel, in that regard. The rest of the bill, although it's going to cost us more money, we aren't resisting that part of it because we think that there is some equity in changing the formula. However, we hope that we don't get taxed that much more, and that's what it is. They call it an assessment, and it is a tax. And as all of you know, we're fighting the battle of rate increases all the time as it is, and I don't think that we need this to add that much more burden to our ratepayers.
I'm Denise McPhail, representing PGE. Like PP&L, we feel that we have an excellent program in place. We are already spending a great deal of money to get the conservation message across to our ratepayers. We feel it's paid off. Our recent survey shows that 53% of the single-family dwellings that are electrically space heated pre-1978, 53% of them have taken a significant conservation action. That includes wall insulation, ceiling insulation, floor insulation. That's considered significant. We feel that it's unfair to our ratepayers that we should pay taxes to fund programs that are primarily, we believe, aimed at oil heat customers. So we would like to see that portion of the bill removed.
Let me ask any one of the last three there. Were you in House Environment Energy when they added this? That you expressed your concern about it then, and they put it in?
Well, really, we didn't have much opportunity to express it. They rolled this bill through without too much testimony or anything else and just said, we'll ship it on to Ways and Means. And I think that may have been a convenient way to feel that it might never see the light of day, but at least give somebody who had some wild scheme and a chance to see it go.
To my knowledge, there was a subcommittee hearing held on it. Not all of the utilities were invited. I was there, but I had not seen the language before. And after that, I don't believe it was ever had a full committee hearing, to my knowledge.
That's correct, John. This section's 5 through 12. Did this come from another bill somewhere, or where did it come from? Does anybody know? Lynn, maybe you could tell me.
Mr. Chairman, the language was also included in the minority report on the conservation program that was sent to the floor in House Bill 2346.
That's where it came.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd have to ask somebody that's had time to study it. The sections 5 through 12 refer to the deed or the assessment, but where is the assessment other than, is that in the part of it then from 15 on?
No, the assessment is the way that the department generates its revenues, and that's how they anticipate that this new program will be financed. But it is.
Yeah, would be an increase in that assessment that's already on the books?
If you add a new program, the assessments go up.
Automatically?
Somebody's got to pay for it.
Yeah.
It's $4 million. Assessments go up to finance that.
Well, but where, that's what I'm trying to get at. Where is that set at? Where is that $4 million in this bill?
It isn't in the budget for this, so where does it drive those fees, or how does it do that? Do they just go ahead and do that?
Apparently, it is not in from 5 to 12 of this, except that it says that they will, the money, they will...
The department is authorized to assess the utilities and others sufficient amounts to finance the programs authorized by the legislature, either through its budget or legislation. So if you add this in, then Lynn goes back, figures out what all the costs are, including the budget that's already been adopted, this, whatever may come down the pipe, and he sends out a bill.
That's the thing that's bothering me. How in the world could this thing, seven-member group here, whatever you want to task force, cost $4 million?
Because there are more things than just a seven-member task force. It says to set up information centers, six of them throughout the state. And I think the estimate on the report on the loan was, what, $500,000 per year?
Sandy, do you recall the figures are there? $400,000. Mr. Chairman, would have the task force set up. The intent is, again, they want us to do more than what we're doing. They have the task force set up. They would direct me what to do, which is an interesting circumstance. They want a multimedia campaign, which means primetime television, which is very costly. And then they want us to set up not more than six urban centers. And again, the cost would depend on what one judged to be the appropriate cost, but those six centers comparable to the City of Portland program alone would be $2.4 million a year, not counting the multimedia time or whatever, you know, the TV time and everything else, which would be money as well.
There'd have to be an expenditure limitation.
If it got to you, yeah.
That'd be a
very
good. I don't know.
It looks like it was really put together very, very quickly and very...
You don't need those sections to address the problem that the bill originally sets out to do.
We could just eliminate...
Well, what maybe we should do is, what I'm wondering is why they... The original 2259 just didn't have these sections in it. These were added, so maybe the thing to do is to take those out and put them in another bill somewhere or another piece of legislation and let them work on that some more.
Or as was suggested, I think you can consider that at the same time that you take a look at the special energy package. You have to take a look at that.
I'm surprised it really isn't in the special energy package, but I guess it was. It's because it didn't come out of the task force is why. Sandy, do you want to come up and say anything, or you're just kind of here watching this?
My name is Sandy Millais. I represent the City of Portland. I would like to explain that while this language is in the minority report, that was not the genesis of that. The genesis was Representative Anderson and Representative Troop's subcommittee. And it was my understanding that the committee had intended to put that language into this bill, and that it came out in the minority report was a result of Representative Baumann's interest in having that there also. I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about your Energy Information Center in Portland and how it's working?
The Energy Information Center in Portland is what we call a one-stop center. And it has a staff that takes phone calls and answers questions about weatherization and refers people to appropriate programs, whether they be financed by the utilities or will suggest ways that they can finance otherwise. We have a UDEG grant at the moment, and we can offer low interest loan to the principal write down.
Does that grant fund the whole center, or where's your funding come from?
Yes.
Entirely from that?
Yes.
When that grant's gone, then
we will be looking for other sources.
Now.
And we are exploring a number of alternative sources.
City of Portland general fund, isn't it?
Including the City of Portland, yes.
Okay.
Okay, and we have an aggressive public information program with that, which includes media advertising. So.
Okay, I'm satisfied. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I should have just left the list out there for people to sign up.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Libby Henry, and I represent the Eugene Water and Electric Board. I noticed in going through an explanation of this PR program that the city of Eugene is one of the six targeted areas for this particular energy center. We have one in Eugene. We put out information such as this, our residential conservation service plan. We tell them all about solar, how to frame their houses, I can go on, and there's about 40 publications in here that we make available to our customers.
How is yours is funded out of EWIPS?
Our ratepayers pay for our program, yes.
And you intend to continue that process?
Yes, we do. Particularly as we come closer to reconciling our contracts with Bonneville, and we will have our program in place. We have mailed this program out to all of our customers. It does explain what we will be providing to them. As I see here for Eugene, the cost per year budget is $150,000. I think it would be of interest to you to know that the Eugene ratepayers last year for energy conservation spent $14.65 per customer, for energy conservation, and that is to fund this activity. I think that accepting or any serious consideration of that PR program would certainly be redundant for Eugene. It looks to me as though we'd be subsidizing Portland's program, and we can't support a program where we're already paying for providing those services to our people.
Public Utility Commissioner have anything to do with that, or do you do that?
Public Utility Commissioner has very little to do with us. Nothing to do with this
That's
program.
That's right. You're right. Should have thought of that.
And I'll be happy to leave all this stuff with you if you'd like. I've
we
got flower show.
No. I had to figure some way to get
Since
out of that.
Get out of here, man. Oh my I might be back saying the same thing. I've got all
your
of our rate
payers, in other words.
Yeah.
I'm more than willing to pay that, apparently, or your outfit wouldn't do it.
Well, we haven't received any complaints about it. I think the Eugene area, our customers are quite keen on the idea of conservation, particularly when you look at that in light of offsetting nuclear power plants in the future.
Okay.
And as an alternative, I believe that's where my ratepayers are coming from. It certainly is where my board's coming from.
What do you think it costs, or what did you say it costs you to do that information a year?
Oh, well, I've got the entire expenditure for energy, $14.65. Cents per customer. That's for our 81 budget. Since 1976, we've spent $2,217,326. This is expenditures for energy conservation. That's basically to fund the center, the audit program, those kinds of activities. Also, part of our conservation effort, which may be of interest to you, is our expenditures to comply with the National Energy Act, which is what our conservation program started out to be a part of. And those expenditures go up to $1,287,083. And that's $10.20 per customer. So you're looking at about $24.80 per customer, 1981 total expenditures for energy conservation. A lot of that's attorney's fees, admittedly, but it's in there. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Ike, why don't you come up next, and then we'll get back to Lynn. I got a hunch he's going to be here for a while anyway.
Not me.
Not you, no.
Ike Congleton is president of Associated Oregon Industries. You have heard from the assessment collectors. I think it's only fair that you hear from the assessment payers.
You're representing the Oregon's consumers.
I'm representing the consumers in this instance.
I'm teasing.
Mr. Potts and Mr. Jones. And I think that it's redundant for me to repeat what's been said, but we certainly are in full agreement of the testimony that you had before you, and we do object to the addition of this program. We think that all the utilities are doing a very good job in this area, and this would be a repetition, and we simply don't need those additional costs loaded onto us.
Thank you. Lynn? You going to defend the E&E committee now? Or?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to make one other point. We've gone through before, just to make sure that you have a complete understanding of what the issue here is, because there's a fairly basic gut level consideration. I'm sure that Honeyman would like to visit with you about it. When you shift if one were to shift from a gross operating revenue basis to a gross operating revenues from a BTU basis,
it will change the proportion it shares the fuel source. We talked about this in committee. We considered the budget, and I just want to make sure you understand that up front, because that's really the underlying problem here. And I'll give you the percentages, and I can have them written down and give them to you, or you can just put them down for. There is a shift, and from Craig's perspective, Northwest Natural Gas would pay much less under gross operating revenues. Petroleum would pay much more, and electricity would pay a bit more under gross operating revenues. So the gas company would benefit from a shift in the proportion of shares if you go to gross operating revenues. The other two benefit if you stay with BTUs. And I think it's important for you to understand that that's an underlying issue here. And depending on, this does not establish a level of actual assessment. You'll tell me that when you decide the budget and the special energy program if we hear it. But it would say that whatever that amount is, it would shift depending on which one it came down. The only problem is that if the court rules it, I'm not sure we'd have a choice one way or another.
Mr. Chairman, maybe another way of saying it is that the scheme that's outlined in here, the major part of the bill, exclusive of sections 5 through 13, which are involved in other programs, but the major feature of the bill is a scheme that's intended to enable the division to continue to do what it's doing right now, assessing in the same way based on British thermal units. Because of the constitutional amendment brought about by ballot measure 3, there's some question. The Attorney General last fall, Brown said no, Bonemeyer said yes, but with some doubt, and there's some question about that. What that's intended to do is to limit the risk. If it's challenged within 60 days, according to the amendments, it would be taken to the Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court says the Attorney General's wrong, then you have a fallback position, which you would go to gross operating revenues. There's no assurance that someone could not challenge that and have that declared to be unconstitutional. But the design of the bill is intended to minimize risk to the extent that it can be minimized. It's not going to increase assessments.
Risk should be risks on the collection procedure.
No, the risk is that if it's declared to be unconstitutional, you've collected the money, you've got a Department of Energy, you don't have a whole lot of general fund money. Somebody's going to be on the hook for about $2.7 million so far for 8183. That's the risk. If the whole thing is thrown out, where do you find that money? That kind of money. That's the risk. This is intending to continue to do what we've been doing right now and avoid all that hassle. It's no guarantee. I think Glenn mentioned that, but it's designed as well as can be designed to.
The cheapest way to get out of that is just not collect any more of the instrument. And you don't get any more credit.
We've authorized the expenditure of $2.7 million. Predicated on the assumption that we would collect this to pay for it.
I think most of the energy people have checked off on the 2.7.
Well, that's already there, though.
Well,
yes, that assessment is there.
That's the 8183 budget that was passed both houses and signed by the governor earlier this session.
Is that just an amount that's about the same as it was last biennium?
That's right. It's just about the same.
Well, there's nothing new there.
No,
and there's nothing new here.
And this is kind of a safety net way of collecting that. We're sure that whichever way they go in court,
it
will be kind of held harmless as the legislature.
You could do nothing and hold your breath and hope no one challenges it. But if they do, you're not going to be as in good a position as you are with this bill.
All right, then another question is then, if they, how far through this bill do we have to go to get that done?
Through Section 4.
You don't need Sections 5 through 13.
Well, there's a lot of other
okay.
sections.
If you like, I can go through those and tell you.
Yeah.
But there's Section 15 and two or three pages.
Well, that new stuff tacked on is part of the scheme that we've been talking about.
Oh, well,
that's a safety net thing.
Just point that off. You need 15 and 16.
Yep.
If you took 5 through 14 out.
Well.
Oh, you need 14.
You want to leave
14 and 15 and 16 would have to be added back.
5 through 13 can go.
Yeah.
Somebody better study that and get that right. And leave enough in there to take what we're supposed to do, but take that part out.
There are some other things in here. If you like, I can go through them pretty quickly. I don't think it'll take much of your time.
Okay.
Okay, on page 2.
Well, let me ask first, is there anyone else that wishes to testify on the bill up to this point? before we go through it any further.
Okay.
Let's go through it then, Dan.
Exclusive of Sections 5 and 13. There's a new program not needed to solve this problem. There's some other technical adjustments in addition to this belt and suspenders operation we've been talking about. Okay. On page 2, lines 26, 27, 28, that redefines petroleum supplier to, in response to a budget memo that was included by the 79 legislature, telling the department to develop a more equitable method of assessing taxes. We've discussed that. The propane dealers are concerned about it. You've asked that I develop language that eliminates the paperwork factor here. Makes that okay. That's all that does. On page 3, beginning in lines 32 and penciled in or typewritten in, currently the department has to assess a fee of $15,000.